Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Madeline Merlot, I'm excited about this because we have been loving your music for ages. And I don't think we've ever had you on the show, so we're correcting that. So welcome to Absolute Radio Country, Madeline.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Where do we find you? Where are you at the moment?
I'm in my house in Nashville.
Congratulations on the EP. I love the title of it, by the way. One House Down from the Girl Next Door is such a great title. And we have been loving Broken Heart Thing with Dustin Lynch. And we've been playing you for years anyway. So this whole thing with Dustin Lynch, you've been out on tour with him, right? Like, are you guys buddies? Did you become buddies and then do this? Like, which came first? How did it come about?
Yeah, so I met him originally because I sang background vocals on his record. We have the same producer, and I'm like moonlight as a secret background singer. There's a few songs. I actually think I'm really good luck, too. If I sing backgrounds on your song, a few of them have gone like number one and stuff. So I feel like I'm good luck. But anyways.
Oh, wait. No, hold on. Let's pause for a moment. Let's find out. So what are some songs that you're singing background vocals on that we wouldn't know that you're singing background vocals on?
Well, I mean, if there's not really that many, but the first one was Heads Carolina that I ever did with Cole Swindell. And it was like totally random. My producer was like, just proof of concept. Can you sing this like the little Jody Messina part?
Yeah.
And I, yeah, for sure. And sang it. And then it went on to be just like a huge smash. And then I sang the Dustin Jelly Roll duet Chevrolet.
Wow. Yeah. You have like the golden touch. Back to Dustin and back to this song.
So I sang on his record and we had just like kind of crossed paths a couple times. And after I sang on his record, he invited me to do this like CMT campfire thing together. So we had a few run-ins. I had his phone number and I literally just texted him the song.
Did you?
I think he just got to go for it. Like the worst he could have said is no, you know. And
see, people always say that the worst that they can say is no. But in my life, I've found that that is not the worst that somebody can say to you.
You're like, I hate this.
Yeah.
No, luckily he didn't say no. He was like, I love it for sure. And said yes. And so he recorded it. And I felt like it just added so much to the song because the concept is really about getting used to this kind of period right after a breakup where you're like, you're used to calling them all the time, but now you're not supposed to call them. Like, how do I adjust? And I thought it was interesting because whether you're the one who got broken up with or you're the breaker, you both go through that adjustment period.
Absolutely.
I thought it would be cool to kind of have both perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're quite happy to be out of a relationship, that those old habits die hard, right? Where you're just used to somebody being there, used to calling someone or whatever it might be. So I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like, it feels like a really universal song. And that is clearly one of the reasons why it's doing so well.
Yeah, I think so. And I hope so. I mean, I think it just, it felt right. And when we heard it, we're like, this should be the lead single. And Dustin's been so great. And yeah, we're really excited with all the people that seem to be really loving it.
Well, congratulations on it. It's fantastic. And the EP, One House Down from the Girl Next Door, is where that is. So you're from Canada, right? But you live in Nashville. You've been in Nashville for a while now?
Yeah, almost 7 years, which is crazy.
Wow. So you broke the 10-year town rule. You're already doing great. They always say you got to be in Nashville for 10 years before it starts happening. Boom, it's happening already.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I started my career pretty young up in Canada. I signed a deal when I was like 17 and toured and played a bunch in Canada, then moved to Nashville. And you kind of start over again when you kind of break into a new market down there. And I have always said my career has been just like millimeters, inches, whatever, at a time. And so moving to Nashville, I mean, it's 7 years, like, oh, 7 years. But I mean, I'm like, no, I've been grinding so hard for 7 years. And now it's moved like 4 inches, but it is moving always that way, which is great.
Yeah, as long as it's moving in the right direction. It's fine. When you moved to Nashville, did it take you long to find your tribe? Because I always find Nashville such a friendly, open town, and so many people collaborate, and so many people are supportive of other people. Did it take you long to find your tribe when you moved there?
You know, what's so interesting is I moved from like a little town in Canada to Toronto, which is the biggest city in Canada. Then I moved from Toronto to Nashville. I made one friend in Toronto the entire time. I thought like, I'm a loser. Everybody hates me. I'm never going to make any friends. And I moved and was able to like find a group of friends so much quicker. And I think it's just because everybody is not from here. You know? Like, it was new ones. Everybody's really open to meeting random people and inviting you along. And I remember specifically, certain people inviting me to this party or inviting me to this show. And I never forgot that and always vowed if there was a new, you know, person in town to make them feel welcome.
That's good to hear because Nashville feels like that. I mean, I'm not a musician, so I haven't gone there and I haven't lived there or anything like that. But when I go there, it just feels so warm and welcoming. And it feels like a small town, big city.
For sure. And I think it's like a Southern hospitality thing as well. I remember literally like my first or second day, I was trying to parallel park into a spot and this woman came up like kind of waving her hands around and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know I can park here. And she's like, oh no, I was just helping you. They did. And I, coming from like Toronto, which is just like a major crazy city, I'm like, nobody would ever do that in Toronto. Come out and help me parallel park. They would yell at me and kick me out of the spot. So that was like an indication. I'm like, I think the Southern hospitality thing is for real. Down.
See, that's actually good to hear about Canada because, you know, one of the stereotypes about Canada and Canadians is how nice they are and, you know, how sorry they are about everything. And they're so nice. So it's good to hear there's a little bit of grit going on in Toronto as well.
Sure. Toronto's definitely the grittiest. I would say, I feel like Canadians are very polite and we are very apologetic for sure. But there's something very like warm.
I agree.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.CO.
I was just in Canada. Let's go back to Canada because I was just in Canada in the same city that you were in. We were both in Edmonton for the Canadian Country Music Awards. And that was such a fun week. And you were all over it. Like, I kept seeing you everywhere. There was like, I forget what the saloon was called, but there's a big saloon there where the loads of parties were happening every night and you were there. And then, of course, at the awards. So what was that? Because it was such a big week with so many kind of icons and, you know, fun people there and important awards being given away and just parties happening all over the place. So what were some of the highlights for you?
Oh, my gosh. It really was. It was such a busy week. I felt like I was like ping ponging around everywhere. Had a little hats that I was wearing with different things. So, I mean, it's so good. I love that week so much. Just seeing all your friends and feel like you're celebrating this, you know, really great year that you had.
And of course, you were nominated as well.
Yes. Nominated for Female, which was huge. But definitely the highlight was the performance that I got to do with Tenille Townes to honor Katie Lang.
Yeah.
So much fun. And, you know, we were both like quite nervous because she's such a legend and doing a tribute. I've done one other tribute in my life and I'm like always so nervous for them because you're like, you know, people just care about this artist and these songs so much. I hope I can go in and like do it justice and all of those feelings. And Katie was just so sweet to us and gave us a big hug. She's like, you guys are going to do great, and watched our dress rehearsal. And she was just so cool. And so I think, and I love Tenille as well. So to be able to do that, and for it to have gone so well and for Katie to have liked it, it was just like a very special moment for sure.
It was absolutely a special moment for the audience as well. And I loved, what I loved about Katie Lang, which I guess I hadn't thought about it, but I didn't, I guess, expect her to be as fun as she was, if that makes sense, you know, because she's such a legend and she's such an icon. And I don't know if you were at the thing that happened the night before, like the dinner thing where she was honored, and she was so funny on stage when she received her award. And then the next night at the awards where you and Tennille did that before she came out and did Big Bone Gal, which was such a wonderful thing. I just thought she just seemed like she was so full of joy, and it was such a nice thing to see.
I agree. That I didn't really know what to expect either, but that took me by surprise and was really fun as well. I was like, oh my gosh, like she just has said she's done so much for her community, and it's just like, you know, she's such a legend. She's just been a part of so many incredible things and such a long, you know, incredible career. And then she just like comes up there and she's like, what's up? Like just so chill and like
yeah,
making jokes and stuff. I don't know. I thought that exact same thing too.
Yeah, because not every legend is like that when you meet them, but most of them are fine. Let's talk about your Grand Ole Opry debut, because this was such a huge thing, and it wasn't that long ago that it happened, right? It was just this month that this happened.
It's October 16th.
Yeah, I mean, and that date will forever be like embroidered on your brain, right? Because it's such a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. I was freaking out. I was so nervous. I knew I was going to be nervous. I didn't expect to be that nervous. But just like going into the building and like the backstage area and everything, it's just lined with all of these like legendary folks. Like everyone I've ever looked up to has played that stage, and all the quotes and, you know, Taylor Swift and like everything. And I had so much like friends and family and my whole team and like industry and the audience. I just felt like the weight of the situation. And so my heart, I feel like, was just racing and beating out of my chest for like hours. I was like, am I going to fall over? After I sound checked and like did it like for pretend, I guess, and just like got to like look out at all the seats, and Dustin came out and we did that together. And he was so chill as well, because he's played the Opry like 100 times. But I don't know, I just kind of was able to like take a breath and settle in. And it really was a night that was like better than I could have imagined it was going to be, which is so cool, because sometimes things, you know, when you're looking forward to something that happens and it's not like quite what you expected, it felt so special. The Opry team, like the front desk guy, like everybody is so warm and just congratulatory and encouraging. And they're like, this is so huge. Congratulations. Like, I don't know. It was just so special.
Congratulations, because it is such an amazing thing. And you're right. Like, that is such a special place, not just for the history of it and the legendary status of it, but like you were saying there, everybody who works there is also really excited for you, even though they've seen it like hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, like that guy that's backstage at that desk who's been there, you know, for like decades and decades. He's seen it all, but he's still excited for you because they know how important it is. And it's, you were saying you went out and, you know, doing your sound check and stuff. It's surprisingly bigger than you think it is, isn't it?
For sure. I 100% felt that way too. I was like, there's like, and when we were out there playing for real, I'm like, there is a lot of people.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. Have you been over to the UK?
I'm dying to go because I'm a big Harry Potter fan too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I haven't been here yet before. But I'm really, next year, it's like on my list. I want to do some stuff in the UK. And I feel like I've been like a couple chances to almost go to, and it just hasn't panned out. And so I'm really hoping this year.
All right. Well, we've got to sort this out. We have got to sort this out because we are absolutely loving your music. Oh, just before I let you go, this Songland thing, we still play Champagne Night from Lady A. And you wrote that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Such a crazy whirlwind experience. But yeah, there is a show on NBC called Songland, which is like a live songwriting like competition show that I had like a casting director reach out to me like, hey, like I see you're a country artist and songwriter, like would you want to be on the show? He sent me a song, and I sent them one song that I had written like 3 days before, and they were like, your flight's tomorrow. It was like this weird thing where you're just like, okay, I'm just like trusting the universe that this is like what I'm supposed to do. And I ended up winning the show, which is insane because I never win anything. Lady A took that song to radio, and it became a 3 week number one song, and no song from that show had ever done that before. It just like, it defied like every audit, every turn. And I was like, I'll just get a chance to sing on TV. Like I could have never imagined like all of the things that would have happened from that. And that song, like gave me my record deal, helped me get a publishing deal. Like, it kicked open the door in Nashville for me.
Madeline, Golden Touch, Merlot, we're discovering that everything you touch turns to gold, and we couldn't be happier for you. What's next? What's coming up?
You know, it's really, really cool because I've been playing a lot this summer and just like focusing on this project and the creative aspects of it and stuff. And obviously, we'll still continue to promote it and do all of that fun stuff. But I get to kind of go back in the writing room, and touring has slowed down, and I've had my first writes this week, and feels really good to like shift back into creative mode before you take a little bit of time off for the holidays. So I'm just looking forward to figuring out, you know, what I want to say next, which seems crazy because the music just came out, but that's, you know, how it works.
Yeah, things are moving. Yeah. Well, congratulations on everything. It's so great to meet you and get to know you a little bit, and we can't wait for you to come over to the UK. Fingers crossed for next year.
I'm dying to. It'd be so fun.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.